Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April the 25th, 116th day of the new year. Have you remembered your professional administrator, Mr. Sundberg?
Of course. Okay. Taking them out to lunch.
Oh, I see. No flowers?
No.
No days off?
They have lots of days off.
Oh, yeah. Weekends, right?
Yeah.
Well, good. As long as that base is covered for you, then we'll know you'll be around next week and next month also. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking briefly about the Headwaters. Not necessarily the decision that happened yesterday, but overall, what is the function of Headwaters? How does that integrate into the area? And from Ryan's perspective, what do they do? And we'll also spend a little bit of time talking about setting the agenda. And I think this is something a lot of people don't see any value in, kind of a, oh, yeah, it's something else that the chair does, not understanding really what the powers are and the nuances of what an agenda is, particularly for a public meeting. It's a little different if you've got an agenda to meet with your kid. Yeah, okay. But if it's a public meeting, what are some of the things that go on? What are some of the restrictions and covenants? And what are some of the challenges that are associated with that?
As long as you don't have an agenda on this.
Oh, anybody who's been here knows I have no agendas. I have a blank piece of paper, baby. And we'll fill it in, though, when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor, out of the fifth. May as well get it all out there. Ryan Sundberg. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from John Steinbeck. It's a little lengthy, but I think I can do it. I'm feeling up to it today.
Okay, good.
The free exploring mind of the individual human is the most valuable thing in the world. And this I would fight for, the freedom of the mind to take any direction it wishes, undirected. And this I must fight against, any idea, religion, or government which limits or destroys the individual. Pretty heady, huh?
That's a good one.
But you notice I didn't stumble.
No, you're definitely tall enough to read that.
Yeah, and if I fell, I land on you. Right, and just as a backdrop, from your perspective and understanding of the Headwaters Fund, it's kind of cool to be able to say the fund and not the forest.
That the old fund.
Yeah, bloodletting that went on. The Headwaters Fund. What's its primary purpose? What are the primary tenets of it? Why does it exist?
So, first, I'll preface it by saying that I wasn't super involved when it was being formed. So, you know, my opinion of it and what I know of it has been more recent. So,
but as one of the five, yours accounts a whole lot more than mine,
you know,
and
does,
a bunch of
yeah.
other guys that are a little longer in the tooth. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just you know,
poor me doesn't fly right now, babe.
No, I don't mean poor me. I just was giving you a context that I have. I mean, my opinion of it is we're looking for projects that are going to create or retain jobs. And you know, in the last year and a half or so, they've went back to the drawing board basically and said, you know, we want to do a better job of knowing how these jobs are going to be created and have more empirical data that shows how these jobs are going to be created or retained. And I think you saw yesterday the outcrop of that new strategy.
As you look at this innocuous thing that's got this board, I like to put things on a 1 to 10 scale. Probably as much for my own trying to attempt not to be confused as anything else. But on a 10 scale, how's Headwaters done?
I think it's probably, you know, 7.5, if I had to do my own rating. There's some projects, I guess, that were kind of vague on how it was going to really create jobs, retain jobs. And then I've seen some projects come through that are, you know, fantastic. The one of the ones that came through not too long ago was the oyster farming, you know, and doing the permitting for them ahead of time. And I was reading something the other day of talking about the oyster farmers, and you know, there's going to be a lot more space opened up, which will bring new people in. And they were, some of the owners there were talking about the people that work for them that would like to start up their own, but there was the barrier of the permits. So opening all that up, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good. It'll give more people opportunity. And then there's also farmers from out of the area that are thinking about coming up here. And I think from the Gulf area, and from what I remember. And I think it's good. I didn't see anything negative from the people who were writing on the, I think it was a blog that I read somewhere.
But it's ironic, isn't it? We're using government dollars to help offset the cost of government dollars associated with government regulation.
No, I know.
There's
but
some kind of a nice little downward spiral as part of that.
You know what it
laudable,
is?
So, laudable goals,
yeah,
but well, it just is kind of ironic.
I know, but ironic. What are you going to do? You're not going to be able to change those regulations, especially quickly. It's
but why not pre-permit a lot of the land base as well as, well, I guess the total land mass of the area to make it easier for anybody to come in, or just to simplify the process entirely instead of having all these various elements that are there. Mm-hmm. I remember Jeff Smith a number of years ago now along the waterfront for Eureka said, why don't we just do one single permit, get the whole thing all permitted, and then if somebody comes in, we can tell them, look, we've got this all permitted, so you don't have to worry about this. As long as you fit into this kind of configuration, you're there.
Yeah,
Woodley Island's that way. You would think that the shore could be there, also.
I think there's definitely ways that we could make it better and easier. And this way, you know, they're helping with the permitting process. I think it's the most realistic, you know.
At
the
this
way,
point,
yeah. Doing one system is, I think it's probably difficult just because there's so many agencies involved. If there was only one agency, it'd be much easier. But, you know, having state and county and
courts. Don't forget the courts, man. Yeah.
You know, and environmental groups and you name it. Anybody will sue over anything. So, I mean, we've seen projects locally that you know, wouldn't think were too big, but they all get sued.
All it takes is one.
Mm-hmm.
KINS, News and Information Times, 422. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 425. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as you consider some of the different, I wouldn't say hurdles, I would say impediments to businesses either locating here or not. And we talked a little bit about that with the headwaters in the opening segment. What do you see that's out there that are things that are manageable but out of control currently? That if we could do a little something might make it easier, whether it's for the oyster farmers or anybody, to locate or relocate a business into our area?
Yeah, it's interesting you said that. We were talking about this, and I actually did the League of Women Voters State of the Community address the other day.
Oh, you were there? Sorry, I wasn't there. I had money come through the door. Literally, I had my jacket on going to the meet. Yeah, I did the thing. I t- talked to Kay and said, can I still sneak in? Yeah, mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay. And then money talks. Sorry.
Hey, you got to pay the bills.
Yeah, and I'm sure I missed a wonderful presentation.
You did, yeah. You missed a really outstanding speech.
Well, perhaps we'll hear a little snippet of it right now.
Yeah, you probably could have slept right through it. But that was one of the things that we brought up was, you know, what is the best way to get businesses to move to Humboldt County? That's always a question that you hear. And the best way to bring businesses to Humboldt County is to do the best possible job you can with the businesses that are here. Because if you do a really outstanding job and businesses that are here feel like they're, you know, you can remove the impediments to what's making them grow, if it's regulations or access to capital or whatever, doing a very good job with those, people will come here because it's going to be viewed as job-friendly area that will... I think it's just a natural progression for people when they're looking around. If you're going to go talk to business owners, you're going to look at what the current climate is. If that climate is good, you're probably more likely to move there. Going out and trying to attract new businesses without doing that, I mean, I just think you're spinning your wheels.
The one-on-one is powerful. But you still,
for sure, yeah.
I would think the best thing we could do is just secede from California.
Oh, jeez. You should move up.
Short of that, however.
You should move south of Garberville, I think. You can.
Well, yeah, the whole state of Jefferson thing. Yeah. It's. But what I sense is that if the permitting processes were more favorable, pick your jurisdiction. We've got plenty of examples of one town losing and another town moving to because the land use permits were squared up, the zoning was okay, things like that, is to get somebody from California to relocate this part of California. I don't think we have pick your favorite, Snowball's Chance or et cetera.
Yeah.
To get somebody who's not in California to come to California.
You know, and that's a bigger issue than the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, nobody can wrestle that one.
You know, there's going to take massive changes to get people to.
Well, maybe that bankruptcy thing that they keep threatening you guys with.
Yeah, maybe.
I doubt it. Have you heard any word that's happening? Or
No.
Was it $9 billion? Did I hear that last week?
I think it is $9 billion right now.
How does that hole keep getting deeper and deeper when they talk about sales tax going up and up and they're cutting back and back?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know this, but the budget is based off of the increases. So their budget deficit is based off of increases. It's not getting cut. It's that's
the
what you hear is we have a nine
restricted growth rather than
we have a $9 billion deficit this year, but that deficit is based off of a budget increase. So that's what
gamesmanship.
They're very good at not letting you know that.
Yeah,
and that crazy amounts of the higher up you go, the crazier it gets. You know, I heard $5 trillion in deficit spending for. The federal government over the last 4 years?
Yeah, something in that neighborhood, yeah.
Unbelievable. Can you fathom that much money?
I can't fathom the attitude that would allow that to happen.
Yeah. Nuts.
You have what you have. Thank you very much. Yeah. You guys aren't going out letting out a whole bunch of bonds.
Well, that's the thing. It's so crazy because at the county level, you know, we've got most of it, the county is all paid before by grants that are specific to, you know, we have to do this certain thing and here's what we can buy with it. And then what's flexible for us as a board is the general fund. And within the general fund, about half of the general fund is flexible. So we have about $50 million that is money that we can spend on what we want. And of course, we're going to spend most of that on public safety, the sheriff's department, the DA, and things that we have to do.
And roads.
Yeah, and roads and, you know, all those other things. But the flexible money we have, I mean, we're almost literally counting paperclips to narrow our budget down and, you know, the...
Here, let me make a donation to the county during the break. I'll bring in a couple for you.
All right, thanks.
KINS News Information Time. It's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, you've had the opportunity to set an agenda or two in the last little bit. Do you think that the regular citizen, regular guy or gal out there understands the power that is associated with setting the agenda? I think most of us go, oh, the chairman, he gets to run or she gets to run the meeting. Wow, spotlight, ooh. Okay, but you can't vote, typically, unless you're...
We can vote. Well, we can't make a motion, but we can vote.
Yeah, so it's a limited position mm-hmm. rather than a full one. But setting the agenda, I would think that's where the power lies.
Yeah, it's probably not as much. I guess you could use it for...
Well, pretend that it was me setting the agenda.
Okay, then it would be much different. Yeah. I don't worry about it on our board. Most of the stuff that comes to us is staff-driven and or things that we have to do. And or you know, most of the board reports or board-driven things are, you know, something that we'd all want to have a conversation on anyways. And you know, I've been on there for a year and 4 months or so, and I haven't been worried about, you know, when Mark was there, Virginia's there now, about someone controlling the agenda to a benefit of, you know, of their point of view.
Who determines what goes into the consent items?
We do. The staff and the board of supervisors, the chairman and the vice chair both go. So Virginia and I are in those meetings now. And if we see something on there that looks a little bit on the edge, we'll have them put it in a departmental report so we can talk about it. But
conversely, if you wanted to, and I know there's plenty of shining examples over the years, if you wanted to try to bury something,
you know,
it's always interesting once, for me, I like seeing the nonverbal stuff. So he says, oh, I would like to have such and such item pulled from consent for discussion. Mm-hmm. And you know in a nanosecond who got caught and whether or not it was a big deal to them or it wasn't a big deal to them,
yeah.
Just with a quick flash.
Yeah, I try to, if I'm going to pull something off of the consent calendar, I try and go talk to the staff person who put it on there to give them a heads up, just because I know that they're probably wondering. It was funny, the other day I pulled a public works item off, and there was a guy who passed away that gave a bunch of money, like $80,000 or so to the county, and we were using it to do some upgrades to the library and some other things like that with some of the money that he donated. And I pulled it because I thought it would be nice to put a plaque or something up, you know, recognizing him. It doesn't happen very often that someone says, you know what, I think I'll put the county in my will. It just doesn't happen that often for some reason.
Gee.
I know you're probably, we're probably in yours, but.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least there's language to that purpose, yeah.
I'm sure there's language to that. Not radio worthy. So later I thought, or I ran into Tom Mattson, and he's like, don't ever scare me like that again. I said, oh my goodness, it was so insignificant, you know, what I was pulling it for, but you got to remember to let him know, because you don't want to scare him for the half an hour that it's hanging in the balance before it comes back on. So,
I've never messing with guys wouldn't be that bad. Make sure they're paying attention. You know,
you would be surprised though, the people who really go through our agenda with a fine-tooth comb, and I'll get emails or phone calls from people and asking questions on our agenda. Sometimes before
Mondays or over the weekend.
Yeah, we get our packets on Friday afternoons, and that's when, like right now, we're on Wednesdays. We set the agenda, and it can still change up to Friday because that's when we have to post it ahead of time
for the Brown Act. Yeah,
and then on Fridays we'll get it's anywhere from 3 inches to 7 inches of paper that we have to get through on the weekend and Monday. So sometimes I'll get a phone call or email on something I haven't even got to yet, but someone else has read it. And I have never seen anything controversial that hasn't gotten pulled and discussed and let the public comment on so far. I mean, I think that it could happen, and I'm sure it does happen, but I don't think it happens very often of someone burying something in the consent calendar and going, well, I'm really getting away with something today.
That's when it happens, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:41. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, you mentioned that the information packets that you get, or the board agenda packets, I guess, is probably what they're referred to in nomenclature. Ooh, haven't used that word in a long time.
Wow.
Yeah. Ranges from a couple inches to a lot of inches.
7, 8. Yeah, it gets some couple of months there. There were huge, huge.
Is there a requirement to have it printed? I mean, if you're going through that much paperwork, times 5, times probably 10, mm-hmm. times in the public stuff, so you throw a couple. And you could be going through literally cases of paper a week just on that. Why not buy everybody an iBook or iPad or whatever the equivalent is, if you guys don't have it, flash stick, here you go.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that. I actually asked about that a little while back, and Kathy.
Now, that ought to put the fear of God into you. We're thinking the same way.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's dawning.
What has happened? It sure does look dark outside. Yeah. So I asked Kathy, how much money do we spend on paper and copying costs? You know, can we compare that to an iPad and figure out, you know, because I would rather have mine electronically. And it's called the Granicus system, and there's other jurisdictions that use it. They have an iPad and everything's on there, and they have a program that you can put on it where you can actually write on it. So you can put your notes on there, you can mark pages, you can highlight things, just like you had a pen and paper there. They can email you your agenda packet. So there's sometimes I'll have meetings in McKinleyville all day on a Friday, and I've got to somehow get to Eureka Friday to come get my packet.
Or if you're on vacation or out of town.
Yeah. Yeah, Virginia.
Even working on real stuff or vacation mm-hmm. stuff wouldn't matter.
No, so that's what I asked. And it actually, the printing cost is more than what an iPad would cost for a year. So after a year, we would be saving money on that iPad that you got.
In addition to all the other things that are printed.
That you could, yeah.
That could be used that way.
Yeah, and I told Nikki the other day, she's the one who does our agendas. I said, if there's sometimes what will make a bulk of a packet are contracts, you know, just pages and pages and pages of contracts. And most of the time, you don't have to read every word in a contract to, you know, they're standard contracts, and once you've read the first couple, and then you'll notice it's the same contract. It's just different. You know, you even know where the words are that
please,
are changed.
Yeah, please highlight in the variables that were just adjustments. Yeah,
I think I've been there long enough now that I know which ones are the standard ones. And I said, can we put those on a stick, on a memory stick, and then I can plug those into my computer and I can read them on, you know, so you don't have to print those out and I don't have to pack around a packet that weighs 5 pounds. And I think we're going to start doing that too.
Yeah, because so. The time associated with it also, even if you walk away, somebody's still got to load it and come back to it and then break it out, even if it's collated, you know, and still put everything where it belongs. And yeah, I mean.
Yeah, they use a company to print those for us. They double side them and print them out, and then they have to have, I don't know how many copies they make, probably 6 or 7 copies, 7 or 8 copies. And it's just, yeah, it's just a ton of paperwork. If you added all those up just in one meeting, I mean, it would be feet high of paper.
Well, and a lot of, you know, the extras that are lying around too. I know you can't do anything with that.
Yeah, we'd still need to print agendas for the one copy for the public, you know, that doesn't have access to that. So, so it's not going to completely eliminate it, but it would eliminate the bulk of it. And
well, and as you said, if your recapture is one under one budget cycle, it should be given to you when you come in your first day.
There's some people that I doubt Jimmy would want to use an iPad.
Yeah, but he's on his way out.
Not out yet.
Close enough.
Jeez.
Don't let the door hit you there, Jimmy.
That is an awfully big footprint in your back from Brian.
Hope Jackie's there to drive you home.
He's got plenty of work left to do.
Yeah. But I would think, you know, when the new folks come in January as part of that and going down south and, you know, learning the secret handshakes and the special language and all the stuff that it takes to become a fully functioning supervisor, why wouldn't you
Don't forget the backroom meetings.
Well, I was going to mention cigar smoke too. Uh-huh. But to have that, and that becomes then what they work off of.
And if you had to train someone to do it, I think it would definitely be worth the time and effort of training them, just in the paper cost savings that you'd have
in
the next 4 years that they were there.
I know you're probably a lot more detailed than I am, but how much time do you spend looking for a piece of paper? If you can't find it and you got a call and you got, you know, if everything is coming through and it's on this one machine,
as
you don't lose it.
Well, if you have a big packet like that too and you're looking for something,
sorting
you have to get, it takes forever. But if it was on the computer system like that, you could type in a lookup word and you can go right to it. I think that would make my life a lot easier too.
Yeah. So I won't bust you when you guys buy 5 or 6 iPads.
I don't expect anything less from you.
Good. All right, now we got that squared, we can move on. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop with Ryan Sundberg. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.